Well, once again, welcome to you, especially those of you who have magically materialised during the singing of the songs. And we are delighted to welcome a whole range of special guests with us today. They include people from the local Interchurch Christian Council, from local churches, from churches that have helped us during our construction phase, through people from the Baptist Union who have helped us with finances and a whole lots of other things. So I'm going to particularly just point out a few people. Firstly, I'd like to especially extend a warm welcome to Reverend Daniel Bullock, who's the Director of Ministries for the Baptist Union in Victoria. So thank you so much, Daniel, for being with us today. Along with him is Chris Barnden, who's a regional minister, so he's the person I go and pour out my woes to, and Jeremy Pete from Baptist Financial Services. There's also Fraser at the back, who's from the Burwood Adventist Church, and that's where we met last year when this place was a building site. And we've got Liz and Mary from the local Catholic Church, and our youth group met in their hall while we were also there. And there's other people that are connected to this building project, which I will mention along the way as well. We are also delighted to have a special guest speaker with us this afternoon. That's the Reverend Dr. Bill Brown, and we're delighted to have him share with us later on. When we stand at a place like this, it's always because of a lot of things that have gone before. And so we're just going to do a bit of a brief history. And the first place we need to start, I guess, is that there were traditional owners here, right? Before European settlement, and we want to acknowledge traditional owners and their current elders, past, present and emerging. And this area, post-war, was the edge of Melbourne. It seems almost impossible to comprehend that now, but this was the edge of Melbourne. What's now the Holmes Glen TAFE was built as a tank factory. But they didn't need many tanks. They turned it into an ammo depot. And then it got turned into a factory churning out prefabricated concrete houses. And there was a migrant hostel just on this side of Warrigal Road. And people from all over the world and returning soldiers and people like that were moving out this way. With immense foresight, the Baptist Union bought these four blocks of land in 1950 for £50 each. Considerably worth more than that now. And then in 1953, there had been sort of some Sunday school ministry and stuff happening from Camberwell and other places. And then in 1953, they started meeting in February of 1953 at the migrant hostel. And then they, in November 1953, they started meeting on this land in an old garage, which was literally like a one-car garage, that up until this building project was still on the property, and it was called the Cathedral, rather prosaically. In 1957, they built an aluminium hall on this part of the property where we are now. And in the early 60s, they built a manse down the back. And then in early 70s, they built the church, which is that half of the building over there. And the church had ups and downs over the years. At one point, there was like several hundred kids in a Sunday school back in the 50s or early 60s. And back from that time, Ruth Moyle was through it all, and we're delighted that Ruth is with us here today. A special welcome to Ruth. So we're so glad you could be with us today, Ruth. It's very exciting. I know you kept telling us, just get on and build the thing, just get on and build the thing. Well, we have got on and we have built it, so. And we're so glad that you were able to see that. In the 1990s, towards the end of the 1990s, Crossway Baptist thought about planting a church. And they ended up doing that in the Stonington area. And the people, some of the people that were involved in that, including Chris and Lynn and David and Jill, where are you? Up there, are here today, and we're so delighted that you guys are with us. Because Stonington Baptist, as it was then, ended up purchasing property in the early noughts in Stonington. And I was had the privilege of becoming the minister there in 2007. Towards the end of the noughts and about 2010-11, Cadson Baptist was coming, had declined in numbers and was sort of is being reconfigured and changed. And Stonington Baptist needed to do something different. And after a prayer walk around Gels Park, I went and had a conversation with Bill Brown in 2012, and we ended up partnering together to plant a new work here in this place. And that was the origins of what then became later called Encounter Baptist Church. And we started meeting as a partnership in February 2013, so 10 years ago this year. And we knew at the time that we'd need to do something with buildings. For those of you who don't know what the buildings were like here, they were separate buildings, there were outdoor toilets, there were stairs everywhere. If you were mobility challenged, it was terrible. If you had to, the toilets weren't exactly the most salubrious, and many people would rather hold on than use them. And we, as many of you know, we have many people in the public and social housing in the area, and most of them lived in facilities that were better than our facilities. But we didn't want to race into a building project without first understanding what the shape of our mission and our church life would be. And we then had to decide, do we actually want to stay here? And at the end of 2015, the church decided, yes, they did. And in 2016, a building committee was appointed, and we engaged Studio B Architects and Fred. And where's Fred? Over there, Fred was did some master planning with us, and there was a number of iterations of that, and that's where this essential layout and design of this building took shape then. There was obviously fundraising that had to go on. Part of it was, as Stonington Baptist moved from Stonington and sold its building there, it was able to come with $2 million, which is amazing. And then internally, people here have given $750,000, which is also unbelievably generous. And then it's been a saga through COVID, and we were, you know, we thought maybe we could do our construction while COVID was happening, but no, COVID ended, and then we were turfed out of our buildings because it got knocked down. And so we were constructing all last year, and as I mentioned, we were really grateful to Burwood Adventist Church and St Mary Magdalene's for helping us have places that we could gather while the construction was happening. So that's a bit of the history of how we get here today. Really grateful to people like Peter Anderson and Hui Yao and Frank Jansen from outside our church who have spent time in our building committee, and internally people like Dean and Celia and also Elsie and Daryl in the early stages spending time in our building committee as well. But we've referenced the construction, but we have a short video which is a compilation of 12 months of photos. We're compressed to 2.5 minutes. So for those of us who lived it and were out here wearing steel cap boots most days to investigate things, I just be glad that you get to see it in 2.5 minutes. And so let's have a look at that. Thanks, Eddie. So that's what this sanctuary, where the foyer is, used to look like. And you can see the old hall. Then the demolition started, and it came down very quickly. That's the old hall that was then gone. There was an old tennis court that was also demolished and an old manse. And we kept the existing church but took out the side wall, and the floors also had to be replaced. So it truly was a shell for a period of time. There was an unbelievable amount of concrete going into this building project, like nuclear shelter worth. And I know we are a Baptist church, but there's a storeroom downstairs that I'm sure will be perfect for storing wine. So slabs were poured, steel beams were installed, the shape of the building started to be take shape, and Harris Constructions were the company that has done the construction for us, and we're really grateful to them. Then later you will see we have a lift well, so it makes it easy for everybody to access all the levels and the stairs that were going around that. And then finally we get to the point where the roof starts to go on and we can start to see what the spaces will actually be like. At the same time, we're still in the process of building 3 townhouses out the back. The upper room, which you'll be able to check out later, has beautiful views out over the city. That's a picture of the lift as it was going in, and some offices. We have air conditioning, which we are enjoying now. We didn't used to have any air conditioning at all. And then the car park finally got laid. You'll see it goes from not being laid to being laid in 2 photos. Let me assure you, it took months. That was a source of a great deal of angst, and there it is. And bang, it's right there like that. And Bill's son, Ash Brown, did a great job with landscaping for us. There's been talk about having cricket matches out the back, and these are some of our townhouses that are being constructed out the back. We got our certificate of occupancy on the 23rd of December, And so we were able to squeeze in some small Christmas services at the end of last year and some photos of the people that were in our inaugural services. And here we are today. So if you go to the next slide now, people will now be able to see us on the live stream against Eddie. So we have lots of things to be thankful for. And I'm going to invite Claire Humphreys to come up and lead us in a prayer of thanks. Thanks, Claire.
It looks so pain-free when you look at that slideshow. I assure you it was not. We are incredibly grateful to be gathering in this space today. It was touch and go, wasn't it, to know whether we'd ever make it. But we are, and I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer of thanks. So just join with me by closing your eyes if you wish to do that. Father in heaven, we pause now to give you thanks for the people and their generosity over many decades, which has led us to this new reimagined space in Margot Street, Chadstone. God, we thank you for the community of Chadstone Baptist who, with your help, established a place of worship here on this site. We give you praise and thanks for the vision that you gave to them to be a blessing to the local community and to see people come to know Jesus remains the heartbeat of this church community today. And Father, we thank you for the generosity of Sindel Baptist who entrusted us with this land, and with the hope that new things might be birthed into this community through the formation of Encounter Baptist Church. God, we thank you for directing the community that was Stonington Baptist to this new place of worship. We thank you for the sacrifices that the people of Stonington Baptist made to purchase the building in Malvern, which ultimately contributed to the funds required for this renovation. So Heavenly Father, we again acknowledge that everything belongs to you. You who are Creator God, work all things together for the good of those who love you. And we are ever reliant on you. So, Father, today we say again that we love you. We praise your name for your goodness and for your provision to this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Claire. A lot of thought has gone into this building. And even in this space, very deliberately, we have a widescreen here. And you can see we've got a picture, or a video actually, of creation. It's like our big stained glass window that reminds us that we are connected to the Lord of all creation that we sung about before. And we also have a cross floating on the wall over there that reminds us of Jesus and his life, death and resurrection. And in fact, that cross is made out of wood that was from the cross at Stonington Baptist. And later when you are going around the building and having a look, maybe you will find some old pews from Chadstone Baptist, somewhere around the building. So there is continuity. But we also think that, you know, we need a place to gather to worship God. And we need a place to gather as community to eat and fellowship together. And we need places where we connect with the community around us. And we have deliberately created rooms here to enable us to do all of those three things. And then I'm delighted to invite Bill Brown to come and bring a word to us, and after that we have some more prayers about the present and the future. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Christine. Thank you, David, and friends, it's a privilege to be with you this afternoon. And I do bring greetings from the Sindel Baptist Church. Chris Daines, the senior pastor, is not able to be with us this afternoon, but he sends his greetings. And as I was thinking about the day today, I first got involved in some gatherings on this property back in the mid to late 70s. I was a young pastor at Sindel, and the pastor of the Chadstone Baptist Church passed away, and it was my responsibility to make sure that the pulpit was filled every week and to do funerals and weddings and baptisms. And over the years have been here on a variety of different occasions. So it is a privilege to be with you today and to see this fantastic. Well done. I see Ruth Moyle here, and I remember times when I would come down and see Ruth's husband, Eric, at a grand old age up ladders. Wasn't great, but he made it up and down. So that's good. Friends, I wonder whether you know the feeling of excitement when you get a call from somebody to partner with them in a significant project. It's often accompanied with a sense of adventure, perhaps a little nervousness about whether you are up to the task, but with a real sense of privilege at being involved as well. It could be something like, "Hey, Pa, come and help." And there's some brainwave that a grandchild has that they want your help with, and there's no way it's going to work like they think it is, but you get involved. Or maybe it's a selector or a captain of a team that you're part of, and you get the call and you think, "Yes, I made the team." You hear interviews from time to time, don't you, when someone's been waiting to see whether they're in the test team or something like that, and they get the call and the interviewer says, "And what did you feel when you got it?" There's that sense of excitement and anticipation at being called. Maybe it's a business opportunity that opens up and it's going to take a risk, but you're willing to have a go at it. Maybe it's a marriage invitation that's extended and you think, "Will I or won't I?" For life. From the beginning of life on this planet, there have been invitations extended by God to participate with him in his mission, in what he's doing. From the pages of Genesis through to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we find God looking for people who would not only take his call, but respond to it as well. And there was, in the book of Genesis, Abraham, and he gets the call. And God says, "I want you to leave where you are, and I want to bless you, and through you I want to bless all of the nations on earth." And Abraham uproots his family and embarks on a new adventure. One of the prophets, Isaiah the prophet, hears the call of God saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And his response, "Here am I, send me." Ezekiel the prophet outlines a bit of an account where God says, "I looked for someone who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land." And then the sobering reflection that I found no one. There's a theme that runs through the Old Testament and indeed through the whole of the Bible where God searches for and will strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. When Jesus arrived on the scene, he made it really clear that he had to be about his Father's business. In fact, in John 5, the Gospel of John, verses 17 and 19, we find that Jesus says, "My Father is always at work in the world." And then he goes on to say, "I can only do what I see the Father doing." In other words, I'm committed to partnering with him in what he's on about. Mostly this involved people. Jesus was about finding people who were, in a sense, lost, disconnected from God, who were missing out on the fullness of life. You know, people who were ostracised by society flocked to Jesus. People hung on his words, and he offered them hope and forgiveness and fresh starts and the ability to cope and a vision for their lives and a purpose for living. He loved them. He tackled systems that loaded heavy burdens on people. He challenged structures and people who oppressed others because he stayed close to God and he stayed close to humans and he brought the two together. Before he left the earth, Jesus commissioned his followers to do the same and he gave them his spirit to enable them to do it. And at that time he also declared, "I will build my church and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it." You know, every page in the book of Acts, the fifth book in the New Testament, tells stories of how this unfolded. You see, at various times over the 40 days from Jesus' resurrection until the time that he left the earth, he met with his followers and he spoke about the kingdom of God. For 3 years, he'd modelled what that meant. He'd showed them what it was to have God as king in a person's life. And he showed them how it is about a dynamic relationship with the living God. It was not so much that those early followers of Jesus saw a vision of the kingdom of God, but rather they were seized by a vision that they were willing to live for, sacrifice for, and die for. And if you read the book of Acts, I am struck by the stories of businessmen and businesswomen Stories of volunteers doing good and helping the poor, landowners, prison officers, soldiers, army officers, mayors, governors, a person who dealt with the hides of den animals, a royal official, a tribal chief, people in the Navy, religious people, irreligious people, young women and men through to grandparents, and how they were all touched and many of them transformed by the good news of Jesus. I'm gripped by the way that the containment lines of gender and social, religious, cultural and racial barriers were crossed by the spreading flame of Christianity. I'm inspired by the beauty and the depth of community where those early followers of Jesus did life together. They ministered according to giftedness, they shared hospitality and resources so that anyone with a need had it met. I'm challenged by the way that followers of Jesus needed to keep expanding their understanding and picture of God. Do you know all there is to know about God? Some of them thought they did, but they were challenged to keep expanding that picture. I can't read Acts 8, 9, 10 and 11 without asking questions about whether I'm tunnel visioned about the bigness of God and his desire to see all people experience life, even the ones that I might unintentionally write off. Because of persecution, followers of Jesus were dispersed throughout the known world. And wherever they went, they carried the good news of Jesus. But they also cooperated with a God who was already at work in the area before they got there. Because they were called to participate in what God was doing. Tucked away about in the middle of Acts, in Acts 10:38, there's a verse that says this. Peter's actually talking to a Roman centurion for which he would have got wrapped over the knuckles that he even talked to that person. And it says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. This is about the way that Jesus loved for and cared for people. How he tackled things that oppressed them or limited them. How he spoke words of hope and peace and connected them with God. And a few years later, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and said, it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's a gift. Haven't done anything to earn it or deserve it. And then he goes on to say, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. If you want some great stories of how lives can be changed, how you make space for people, take one chapter of Acts each day for the next 28. Read it and pray. Do it again in our day, Lord, through me and through us. As Brian McLaren puts it, the good news of Jesus is not an evacuation plan for heaven, with the church as a warehouse to store souls until they're shipped off to their final destination. Instead, the good news is a transformation plan focused on earth rather than in heaven, and the church is at a training and equipping centre for activists to apply the resources of heaven to the needs of people. Around the world today, God is still at work. Some of us who are here today were gathering earlier last week, and we heard stories about God at work in Syria, amazing ways, and in the Ukraine where 80% of the care and support that were given to people who are refugees came from the local Baptist churches. Or in Poland, or in India, and in Australia, and in Victoria, and in Melbourne. I imagine that you, like me, have wondered, what is it that actually changes the trajectory of a life or a community? Will business do it? Politics? Or education? They can all do good things, but ultimately it's the power and the love of God that can heal a human heart, forgive and release a person from guilt and shame, restore fractured relationships, heal hurts, pain and hatred, and give dignity and offer meaning and life. And God still seeks people who will participate with him in his mission. He seeks fired up followers and fired up churches who will participate with him in what he's doing. His plan for the church is for it, in partnership with him, to be the hope of the world. The church needs to be a healing community that stewards well the message that that can change lives. Have you ever thought, will the church be able to sustain itself? I wonder whether Chadston ever thought that. Will it go down the tube like other groups do from time to time? Example, businesses or political parties come and go. Friends, Jesus said that he would build his church and keep building it such that it keeps taking ground from those forces that rob people of life and hope. And I reckon Jesus still taps people on the shoulder. He still makes the call and he issues the invitation to partner with him in a life-giving, world-transforming endeavour. A gathering place of Encounter Baptist Church is strategically placed, as it has been for decades, here in Margot Street, Chadston. You've got a great facility. It's been a privilege just to wander around and see what's happened. It's amazing. And I understand that the theme in this season has been making space. It's a great theme because one of Jesus' reminders to people was that they were welcome at the table. He made space for people. In fact, he said there's room for more. Always room for more. In fact, there's room at God's table for everyone. I love that your website declares Encounter Baptist Church, ordinary people, extraordinary God. And there's a little tag underneath that says, on the weeks when we don't have in-person services, our church gathers in homes. It's remarkably like what's said in Acts 2, that they gathered together in a larger facility and then gathered in homes. Both this facility and the homes in which you live are strategically placed, as are the workplaces, educational institutions, sporting or leisure activities where you spend your time. They're not simply geographical locations with a particular address, but they're places and spaces to extend the welcome of God and offer hope in the streets of this area and beyond. Imagine what could happen in our world if the over 2 billion people who claim to be followers of Jesus committed each day to do what Jesus did when he committed to participate in what God was already doing. Imagine if the people individually and together who belong to Encounter Baptist Church continue, as you have been, to be willing to do the same. You know, I wonder whether in conversation with his father at the start of a day, Jesus would say something like, "So, what are you up to today, Father? Where are you at work today? Because I'm committed to partnering with you in what you're doing." And my encouragement to those of you from Encounter Baptist Church is, would you pray a similar prayer, making space to participate in what God is doing? Here's a possible prayer. Lord, we know there are some people you want to bless today. Please help us to be sensitive enough to your spirit, to know who they are, courageous enough to act on your direction, and willing enough to sacrifice what is necessary to make space for them and to bless them. May this building be a great space in this community, but not the only space in this community where the people of God partner with God in his mission. He makes the call. Will you take the call and continue to partner with him? God bless you.
Thanks so much, Bill, for that. Just another couple of little bits of information. Those of you who have seen our church logo will see that we have an E with three circles around it. And amongst other things, those three circles are there because there are three churches that formed this one. Sindel and Stonington and Chadston came together to form this one. And we chose our name Encounter because we are strongly of the belief and experience that ordinary people can encounter God in their everyday lives. And we want to keep be reminded of that. Not like in the big show or anything like that, just in the quiet places as we go around in our lives that we can encounter God. In the big gatherings too. And we do believe that God is our Heavenly Father and he's a good parent who speaks. And so we are just going to now just have a few moments, and I'll invite you to participate or not, there's no stress. And we're just going to listen to God. Maybe during the course of our gathering today there's been some scripture come to your mind or a picture or a phrase. And when you think about it and you reflect on it and say, God, is that thought for me or is that for this church? And if the answer is it's for this church, we'd love you to share it with us. And there are three ways you can do that. Firstly, for those who are part of Encounter, you just pull out your app, the EBC Hub, and you can just post it there directly in the home chat or feed. Or anyone here can pull out your phone and text it to that number on the screen and I will get it. Or if you're old school, at some point between now and the stampede to the afternoon tea, there is some small bits of paper and a box in the corner with a pen, and you just might like to write down what it is. And just put your name on it. If you're texting it too, we'll have your number, just in case we need to come back for any clarification. But we take seriously that God doesn't just speak to the special leaders. God speaks to everybody. And on this special day, we would expect that God would have some words for us. And so I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and quiet and focus on Jesus. Maybe even want to just look at the cross and say, God, what do you want to say to this community today? And if there is something that comes to mind that you're okay with sharing, please do. If nothing comes to mind, just enjoy the silence. Let's listen to God. Some of you are thinking, is that thought that's in my head, is that me or is that God? Well, let's just go with it, it's God. We'll discern it later, but let's just be encouraged that that thought or that picture that you've got, yeah, that probably is God, because God likes to speak to his children. And we'd love for you to share it with us. But now I'm going to invite Celia to come forward and to lead us in some prayers for our present and our future. Thanks, Celia.
Thanks, David. Lord God, we come here today with a mixture of gratitude and expectancy as your people in this place. We are grateful for this parcel of land, grateful for the building around us, and grateful for the community gathered here and the community of faith living afar who belong in our hearts. We choose, Lord, to honour you. Today we enjoy a beautiful place to worship you. We marvel at the many spaces we step into as we seek to serve you, each other, and the community. Thank you, God. We humbly seek your heart and your ways for this place. When I was preparing this prayer, I thought of Ruth in the Old Testament, gleaning in the fields to provide food for her mother-in-law, Naomi. The wheat and the barley that she gathered was left out because of God's provision, God's laws that required that grain be left on the ground. And because Ruth was in particular fields, she was noticed and redeemed and became part of the physical family of Jesus. And today I want to pray into that, into our future, because we are on a particular piece of land and we are part of God's provision. And we have a purpose of providing well-being for others, like Ruth did with her mother-in-law. Lord, with expectancy, we gather your resources. We bring and offer what we hear, imagine, and think are of you for the future. Take the sheaves of wheat and barley we find and carry. Take and use them all for your glory, for your redemptive story in this place, and for lasting well-being for others. For joy and laughter to ring through these spaces. For grace and peace to inhabit these rooms. For safe refuge and recognition for the lost, hurting and disconnected people. For finding identity in relationship with you. For learning and modelling which brings lasting Christ-likeness. For fresh witness by actions and words in season of the work of your Spirit in our lives. For healing and refreshment for bodies, minds and emotions. And provision for the poor in heart, above and beyond what can be thought or ever imagined. Take and use every grain for the bringing of your kingdom deeper into our lives and the lives of everyone in Chadston, Ashwood and surrounding suburbs. Keenly tune our ears to hear your voice. Bring fresh imaginings and dreams as we enter this next season as your people. Enlighten our thinking with fresh revelations of you. Quicken our hearts with joy and strengthen us in mind, heart, soul and body as we walk in your ways and as we move into what you have planned for us to be and to do for your name's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Celia. And we now have a chance for us to pray together a prayer of dedication. And the words are going to be on the screen. And this is certainly for us at Encounter to pray. If you're a visitor here today and would like to pray these words for us as well, we would be humbled by that. You don't have to pray out loud. If you want to, you can. If you just want to sit and listen, that would be great too. But for those of us who would like to participate, I'm going to invite you to stand with me and we're going to pray these words that have come up on the screen. So let's stand to pray. And we'll sort of try and keep together, but if we get out of time, that's perfectly okay. God can figure that out. Let's pray. God, we honour you here in this place. You are God who made the world and everything in it. You are the Lord of heaven and earth, and we come to you today not to give you something you need, for you need nothing. In view of your great mercy, we come to offer ourselves to you, individually, our families, and this church. And we do it here in this new building. Father, may it be used to further your kingdom. May this play a place where people come to know you and grow in their understanding of you. May this be a place your people are encouraged and equipped to live for you, where those in pain receive comfort for their souls, the weary are revived, the despairing are filled with hope, the depressed filled with joy, and the sick are healed, where the thirsty find satisfaction and the hungry are filled up. May this be a place where your word is honoured, where your people are learning every day to live with, like, and for Jesus, and where friendships are established and deepened. God, when you seek us, may you find worshippers who worship in spirit and truth. May Jesus receive honour and praise, his cross boasted in, the power of his resurrection lived in, and his second coming hoped for. God, we pray for disciples to be made here who impact on our community in Ashwood, Chadston and surrounding suburbs. Father, we pray that as we gather, we would be filled up with your Spirit, equipped in all kinds of ways for all kinds of service, and be sent out to be your light in the world around us. All of this we pray in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. I'm going to invite you to keep standing, and we're going to finish with one final song, which is also a prayer. And it's a song that was written and became widely sung during COVID. And it's the blessing, and it's the Aaronic blessing. And it's a deep revelation from 3,500 years ago of the character of God. God is one who brings good to us, who blesses us. God is one who keeps us. God is one whose face shines upon us, which is like a grandparent, and I've just recently one, the face delights at seeing their grandchild and is gracious towards us. God is one who turns his face towards us and pays attention to us and gives us peace. And Moses was said, this is the character of God that I want you to put on people, that they know that this is what I'm like. And so we are singing this song to each other. So I encourage you not to get just all eyes closed for those of you who do that, but that's when you can, soothing words, look around to other people and sing this blessing to each other as we close our service. Thanks, Chris.